Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Eric, right. Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
And to you as well, Adrian.
Got anything special planned?
No, I'm single this year, so just gonna probably do the single guy thing. How about you?
Well, I'm working tonight, like I do pretty much every night, so there you go.
Nice.
But we have a lot of cool stuff to talk about today. And to start us off, right, Eric, we got listener questions in on Twitter.
Love it.
And just so everybody knows, you can, you know, if you have questions or comments or compliments as well for us, be sure to hit us up at Hero Blend on Twitter, and we might read your question or compliment or comment on the show.
Okay. I love the emphasis on compliment. That's great.
Yeah.
Because
we did actually also get a compliment this week, so I'll read that too later. But first, to start us off, at Uncanny Comic wants to know if, and I mean if, we ever get a Man of Steel 2, would you like to see a story that takes our hero outside of Earth for more space-bound adventures? Eric.
Absolutely. I'm all about it. I mean, for so long, I think all comic book movies really spent just so long just thinking only about what's going on Earth and like how basically the Earth is the center of the universe. Frankly, yeah. I guess technically Green Lantern kind of came first to kind of disrupt that, but it was so bad that I think we're instead going to like give that mantle to Guardians of the Galaxy, which of course was the movie mm-hmm. to actually do it for the MCU and kind of expand the cosmos. So like, yeah. I mean, I think the point here is that there is so much cosmic storytelling in DC Comics, and Superman is an alien, has certainly been on probably thousands of cosmic adventures. To this point, we've pretty much only seen him as the protector of Earth. I'm definitely willing to see him spend some time out in space, for sure.
Okay, well, I have to say, in general, yes. But with this, like, current iteration, like, if, you know, we do get an official, like, Man of Steel 2, I feel like he hasn't had really, we haven't seen him do that much on Earth, technically.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Right now.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
So, you know, I could certainly see them setting up something cosmic toward the end or throughout, you know, a Man of Steel 2. But I think he should still be mostly doing Earth stuff. And then, you know, for a third one, maybe. And I know that's thinking way too far ahead. Like, the chances we'll ever get a third one.
Yeah, I mean, we're at 6 years here, and we still don't have a Man of Steel 2.
Yeah.
So that's actually a very good point. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about kind of the immediacy of it and, like, the fact that, yeah, like, there is still some work to be done with Superman on Earth, and, like, you got to kind of move past that Zack Snyder darkness a little bit, and you make a very, very good point there.
Thank you, Eric. I think I made a good point. All right. Our second question comes from at BaldwinFK on Twitter, who, you know, I mean, you could look them up by that, but I think they have possibly the coolest Twitter name ever because they also go by "Get Away From Her, You Bitch" on Twitter, which I love.
That's great. Love it.
And they want to know, they say, "I'm a big fan of the 1994 The Shadow for so many reasons. Would you like to see it done as a remake today? Do you remember The Shadow, Eric?"
Absolutely, I do, with Alec Baldwin. It was it's kind of one of those 90s gems. Like, it hit at a time before kind of the universe was ready for this kind of storytelling. Sam Raimi's Darkman, I think, is another film that kind of exists within that regard. And in fact, I think even Sam Raimi wanted to make The Shadow, but wound up making Darkman instead. But yeah, I think it is absolutely a story that is begging to be brought back. I mean, it's classic noir kind of storytelling and just like that pulpiness. I mean, I feel like the last comic book movie we saw that really attempted something at that, I guess you have like basically the Sin City movies and The Spirit. And the first Sin City is great. Second Sin City is not. And The Spirit is awful. So, you know, if we can bring back that kind of storytelling to the big screen now that kind of people are more into kind of these pulp heroes, yeah, absolutely. I'm totally all about it.
Yeah, I actually, in my mind, kind of confused the shadow with something else, possibly the spirit, which came out many years later.
Sure.
Because it's been a long time since anybody mentioned this movie.
Sure. No, it has. It's completely, and I think it's, what is it, 94? Yeah, 94. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Briefly, it's set in 1930s New York. It's about a reformed criminal who becomes a superhero with the aid of a beautiful female friend, a playboy millionaire with a dark past, sets out to bring the evil Shawan Khan to justice. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, and it was just kind of one of those, like you said, forgotten, sort of, you know, forgotten, like, superhero movies before. Superhero movies were, like, the main thing, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Now, Get Away From Her, You Bitch also has a lovely compliment for us that I'm going to read. They say, love your show, by the way. The chemistry between you two is, and I want to quote John Travolta, it's electrifying. Love. Great work.
I love you did the voice. That's great.
Well, that was a terrible John Travolta.
No, that's perfect. That's great. And thank you very much, Get Away From Her, You Bitch. That is a it's a fantastic compliment. Thank you very much.
Lovely to hear. Seriously. All right. Now, like I said at the top of the show, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, including some new Avengers Endgame images that we got this week. Some potentially not that helpful. Some actually official. And you, Eric, got to actually see a sneak peek of Shazam that you can actually talk about.
I can.
But first, we've got a lot of new stuff to talk about.
For sure.
Let's start off with DC. Apparently, this isn't a huge shock, there's an Aquaman spinoff being worked on. We already knew that they were starting to get the wheels moving on like an official sequel. Now they're also trying for a spinoff. But this is going to focus on the trench, apparently. The, like, terrifying creatures who were featured during what I'll call the horror portion of Aquaman. No one from the main movie is going to be showing up, but they've already hired some writers to take a stab at it. And James Wan is set to help produce. I'm really not sure how I feel about this, Eric. I mean, it would probably make a very good horror movie, but I don't know.
You're not that into horror movies. I mean, that's kind of probably part of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What it strikes me about it is that it very much reminds me of essentially the Conjuring universe, which it happens to be that James Wan and producer Peter Safran both had made, like, huge hands in creating. So you take that into consideration, and you think about, like, oh, the trench was this, like, very, very popular, also very scary element of this larger blockbuster that could spin off on its own and really get its own audience. And that could be a description of Annabelle, or it could be the description of the trench. And so, I mean, like, it could simply be like a boat out at a boat lost out at sea that is, like, inundated by these horrific, like, scary ass monsters. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Like, I kind of appreciate, because this, like, I will say, I talked to Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige last year. I believe it was at the Ant-Man and the Wasp junket. And one thing I asked him was if there was ever any interest in the Marvel Cinematic Universe making movies that weren't, like, big blockbuster action movies. And he said, basically, no, that really, like, when you see the Marvel brand, what you're kind of expecting is this big blockbuster action. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say it to his face, but that was, like, kind of disappointing, because because Marvel Comics come in all shapes and sizes. And so if you want, like, I actually kind of like this idea for the DC extended universe and, like, mm-hmm. experimenting in this kind of filmmaking and doing something a little bit smaller and a little bit different. And most certainly Warner Brothers, because the Conjuring universe is still Warner Brothers. That's probably their most successful franchise at this point. So I see absolutely no reason why it would be a bad idea to not pursue this.
Now, one thing I did notice in the report is that it's supposed to also take place, like, in the trench, in their kingdom or whatever, which to me says that it's going to be taking place underwater. Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, maybe, I guess then, like, the fisherman that I described in the previous scenario can instead be, like, soldiers from Atlantis, like literally yeah. just anybody.
Or some
like,
other underwater, one of the other underwater kingdoms, because we didn't see yeah, sure. all of them in Aquaman.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like there are storytelling options, and like it does set just an interesting precedent where you don't necessarily need to pin a new movie entirely on a specific character, where you can take like ideas and turn them into new and different things. And so, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see how that progresses. Now, sure. a story
among the 10,000 other DC projects.
Right. Right.
Which we must point out, yes.
Yeah. Now, something that I do know how I feel about. Okay, now we talked, I think, last week about Suicide Squad 2. I'm not going to call it the Suicide Squad. We're just going to pretend that that's not happening. Apparently, this movie is they're considering it a soft reboot. So it's not necessarily, we were saying last time that it's not necessarily going to have all the same characters. Now they're saying that there are going to be no returning characters, including Harley Quinn, Eric.
Yeah.
Why would they get rid of the one part of that movie that no one has like a problem with? Well, and where do you think this is coming from? Is this DC saying we want, you know, any potential stink from the first movie not to be on this one? Do you think this is James Gunn saying I want a totally clean slate with this? What do you think is happening?
I think it might be kind of a mix of both of those situations, in the sense that, like, I mean, for example, right now Margot Robbie is off filming Birds of Prey right now. She mm-hmm. has a very significant role in that film.
Yeah.
And from what we understand, there's apparently going to be like a solo Harley movie and a Harley and Joker movie and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
That we've just heard.
Gotham City Sirens.
Gotham City Sirens.
They're talking
another
about
one.
Too.
So I'm not actually is even a solo Harley Quinn thing. I'm sure it has been mentioned at some point. Anyway,
probably
the point is though is that like they have a lot of future stuff for Harley Quinn. She's not hurting for projects. At the same time, like James Gunn maybe doesn't want, like you said, I mean maybe doesn't want to carry the baggage that came with David Ayer's version and like creating a certain continuity. And if he wants to start fresh with a new cast of characters, that's fine. Like, I see no problem with that. And honestly, like, just kind of one thing inside of all of this, which is that as great, I love Harley Quinn. She's fantastic. She's a great character.
Yeah.
Her part in Suicide Squad, when you really think about it, doesn't really make any sense. Because, like, Harley Quinn doesn't have any powers. She's just a lunatic who has a close relationship with the Joker. So
that is true.
That in mind, it makes all kinds of sense if the whole point of having her on the team is because you're trying to get to the Joker and solve this whole situation because he's specifically involved and you need to get to him.
Right.
Completely different story. That's not what Suicide Squad is, though. Suicide Squad is about Enchantress and, like, this all kind of craziness. And, like, she could swing a baseball bat, and I guess she is moderately effective in doing so and, like, killing all those ash monsters.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She's not particularly useful in any other capacity. And, like, and the reality is, like, even in the comics, like, yes, there have been, various series that have included her, but she's not like a staple of the team. So, I mean, I kind of see where this is coming from. And like, mm-hmm. it's true. Like, it does feel a little bit like a throwing the baby out with the bathwater situation, in the sense of like, why get rid of everything that worked in the original Suicide Squad? But mm-hmm. I mean, if James Gunn, like, I mean, I guess a lot of it does also come down to like, I trust James Gunn. So,
yeah. Yeah, that is true. He must have some, you know, if this part of this is coming from him, he must mm-hmm. have some good idea of what, you know, what the story is going to be, you know.
Sure. And also, I mean, it should be noted,
yeah.
this isn't like confirmed. This isn't information that
right.
comes straight from the studio either. Like, this is just a kind of story that came out about it, and we'll see if it pans out. But I feel like if she is in it, cool. Margot Robbie's neat and Harley Quinn is great. If she's not in it, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with it.
Okay. All chill, yes.
All right. Now, DC Universe, which I subscribe to, but I must admit, keep forgetting that I have, even though there's a ton of stuff on there.
Uh-huh.
Doom Patrol, they've got another show coming out. Actually, when you're listening to this podcast, it will be out because it debuts on February 15th. And we finally got the first trailer, like mm-hmm. just a couple days ago, even though it's coming out on Friday. What did you think, Eric?
I thought, I really like, did you watch the Titans episode that teased that?
I have not gotten that for you.
Okay, so I really enjoyed them. It is kind of weird just because they filmed the episode before they finalized all of the casting for the show. So, like, Brendan Fraser is still voicing Robot Man. However, like, Timothy Dalton isn't playing Chief, which is kind of throttling because you're like, oh, wait, they're going to be doing this. And so it's a bit weird. I love that trailer, though. I haven't seen anything from the show. I think our TV editor just published a review of it saying that it was actually really good, though.
Yeah, Laura Hurley. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it. I am going to tune in and you'll probably hopefully we can actually find some time to talk about it next week because I'm going to.
Yeah, I like that it looks like it's going to be kind of wacky.
Yeah.
And it's got a slightly old timey feel to it, even though I know it takes place in the modern day, but I like that. And it looks like it's going to be, you know, a really different type of like superhero show, but not as nutty as something like Legends of Tomorrow, which I had to just tap out of pretty quickly.
I'm all for nutty. I mean, say that I actually, living up to a promise that I think I made on the show like a year ago. But like, I actually have finally started to get back into Gotham because I don't know why I fell off that show. I just kind of did. And I always appreciated the wackiness of that show. And now it's ending. And maybe like Doom Control can kind of film that gap that is vacated created by that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, guys, as usual, we have plenty of Marvel stuff to talk about.
Always.
So obviously there's been a lot of ups and downs with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but Chris Pratt has confirmed that they're using James Gunn's script for the movie whenever they get around to filming it. He was asked if they're planning to use Gunn's script and if he'd read it, to which he replied, yeah, I have. It's off the chain. It's so good. It's so good. Which sounds really promising, but to be honest, I feel like it's not going to be that easy for some reason. Like, they have the script and they can use it and they will use it, you know, just because there's been so much drama and back and forth and, you know, secrets and confusion and everything.
And also and as we've discussed before, just any director who comes in is going to want to, like, they're not going to want to make a James Gunn movie. They're going to want to make whoever they are.
Their movie. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, they're going to probably make their own changes. And to Chris Pratt's credit, I mean, he's an enthusiastic guy. I don't take it away from him. He's like, I've had the chance to interview him a few times. He's a very nice dude. But it's also like, he's not going to say, oh, the script's crap. I'm really happy that he's gone. I think we got to take everything, that situation with a grain of salt. But, you know, I'm excited to see James Gunn's vision for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because I think it is the only vision that should exist. However, we are far from seeing the end of this movie's troubles. Just where we are right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Okay, Captain Marvel is coming out like in 3 weeks or something like that. It's coming up really fast.
Shockingly soon, yes.
And Samuel L. Jackson cannot stop talking about time travel and Captain Marvel. Sure. Now, he's said some stuff about time travel again. Here's what he said. I guess we might figure out that she can do things that nobody else can do. She can time travel, so maybe she can get ahead or behind or whatever and figure out what all that is. I don't know what all that is, and he continues, the fact that I have the pager 20 years later, it gets addressed in an interesting sort of way. I have no idea what that last part means. We assumed he had always had that pager since, you know, sometime in the 90s when he last saw her, but maybe not. Maybe she travels through time and gives it to him or something.
There's a lot in that statement that I just don't fully wrap my brain around.
Still really unhappy with the time travel stuff.
I really hope that's not a thing. I'm hoping against hope that it is kind of just a misdirect of some sort, and that it's just like he's just kind of messing with fans and like saying this kind of thing, which he knows, which will like come across on podcasts like this, where it's just like, wait, what the hell are you talking about, man? So, I mean, and I mean, it's worth noting that the movie is going to be coming soon. Like you said, the movie is coming very, very soon. We will have an answer to the situation. I definitely do anticipate some kind of payoff for that pager, just because, right. I mean, yeah, they can't not pay it off, basically. You can't just say, like, at the beginning of Infinity War, explain it away. But I am curious if it will be anything beyond what we essentially guess it will be, which is exactly what you said, the idea that, like, she goes off into the cosmos but says, if you ever need me, page me. So we'll see how that goes.
It just occurred to me that since she has Goose, like, he's kind of her pet, right? Uh-huh. He, you know, is not a cat. He's a Flurkin who has the dimensions in his mouth and can open up portals. Maybe it's not time travel. Maybe she can travel via Goose's portals somehow.
That would be immensely disturbing. I'm not sure I want to see, like, I'm not sure.
Her jumping to, like,
just jumping to her cat's mouth. Yeah. Cat's mouth. Yeah. That's a bit weird, Adrian. It's weird that your brain went there, but. Good on you.
It's possible. Anything is possible, Eric.
Anything is possible. And also, I will say that we're covering this on Cinema One. I think it's going to be on the site, but there's that new banner. Did you see it with Goose?
Yes, yeah. Obviously. I love it.
Yeah, this giant new banner. I don't know if you guys should try and search it out, but big, huge banner of Goose with a pair of aviator sunglasses on, which is...
Yeah.
Beautiful. Just love it. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want one of those.
Right? Not, yeah. Just hang it up on the ceiling.
Yeah. Just
hang
it up
apartment.
On the wall.
Yeah. There you go. Love it.
Okay. Now, talking about Captain Marvel, we've known for quite a while that Ronan the Accuser is going to be in the movie. And we just found out kind of what some of his role is going to be in that film. He's not going to be the radical that we first saw in Guardians of the Galaxy. So he's going to be, you know, toned down a bit. But he is a part of the Kree military. And apparently he will, and this is a direct quote, intersect with Star Force in an interesting way. Eric, were you surprised just in general when they said Ronan and Korath the Pursuer, right, were going to be showing up in this movie?
I wouldn't say so much surprised as much as just very happy.
Okay.
Because if you really break it down, like, Guardians of the Galaxy is great, and Ronan, like, for his part, is really cool. But I specify for his part because it is very, very tiny.
That's true.
Like, it's a very, very simple character as he is. And it's the same with Korath. I mean, we know that Korath is working for Ronan, who is therefore working for Thanos. And... that's cool. I mean, it works. Like, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy is an absolutely incredible film, but it's just, it's not the strongest character representation. And these are characters who have some significant background in the comics. So if you have Captain Marvel, which, of course, is diving into the world of the Kree and their whole background and the war against the Skrulls, there is a perfect opportunity to bring back characters, those kind of characters.
Right.
And I'm very, very happy that they have. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm interested to see those characters again, too, because, like you said, we actually didn't see that much from them in that Guardians of the Galaxy, even though they were important to it.
Sure. And I don't expect that the film will go into, like, these extreme depths as far as just,
they're still,
like,
not
saying,
like the main part of the movie.
Exactly. This isn't Captain Marvel and Ronan the Accuser. It's Captain Marvel. So, like, but I am hoping that there will just kind of be, like, inklings that we see, like, oh, so this is how he got from A to B. That's really all I ask for.
Yeah.
And that's the nice part of continuity.
Yeah, right. Sure. All right, guys. Some stuff has happened with regards to Marvel TV news. Now, apparently, Hulu, which has The Runaways, which I admit, I keep forgetting that that's a show, but Hulu has The Runaways. Hulu is working on now 5 animated Marvel projects. Okay, so, like, just buckle up, because I'm going to give you, like, a brief description of these projects, and you will see that there's, like, like, they're nutty, okay? They're nutty and possibly fabulous. First off, Howard the Duck, and it's going to follow him as he's trapped on Earth and trying to get home. MODOK. That's a supervillain with a massive head and an itty bitty body. I'm sure you've seen him.
Designed only for killing. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And he is going to, we're going to follow MODOK as he's trying to balance his family, which I didn't even realize he had a family, with running a criminal organization. Hit Monkey. All right. It's a Japanese snow monkey who messes with Tokyo's underworld because it's being guided by the ghost of an American assassin. Like, you can't, like, somebody, like, was doing drugs and had a fever dream when they came up with that, okay? And then there's Marvel's Tigra and Dazzler show about two socially woke best friends and L.A. natives who spend their days battling to be recognized among the city's powerful elite, okay? And then lastly, and possibly my favorite title of all of these, and you will see why, Marvel's The Offenders. When all of these freaky weirdos team up. Eric, what the hell? Did we know that, were there rumors that anything like this was going to be happening at Hulu? And also, why Hulu?
Well, I mean, the Hulu thing is interesting just because, I mean, obviously there is the whole Disney Plus streaming service that's going to be arriving at the end of this year. But I think the other side of it is the fact that Disney is buying Fox, and in doing so, it's basically going to consolidate, I believe it's 60% of Hulu's ownership. And so they have still a significant stock in Hulu, and it is still a highly popular subscription service that, I mean, I think you and I both subscribe to. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how they develop from that point forward. And like you said, I mean, Runaways is still on there. These are weird. These are very weird shows.
They are so freaking weird.
But I'm
perfect. Somehow also perfect. Like these, and also I should mention there's some pretty big names kind of working on some of these shows. Kevin Smith is working on Howard the Duck. Patton Oswalt is working on MODOK. And Chelsea Handler is working on Tigra and Dazzler. And let me just say, okay, I had to look up Hit Monkey. I had to look up Tigra. Uh-huh. I knew Howard the Duck. I knew MODOK. I have a Dazzler comic. If you've never heard of Dazzler,
there you go.
I actually have Dazzler number 3 from 1981.
That's awesome. There you go.
So it's just like these weird characters. Of course, there are, you know, Howard the Duck has kind of like a cult following already, but the rest of these characters, like, a lot of people aren't going to know who these folks are.
Yeah, no, and I think that's part of the reason why you kind of use this strategy. I mean, maybe somewhere down the line, I mean, we have seen Howard the Duck in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, voiced by Seth Green. But for the most part, these characters, like MODOK, would be incredibly difficult to bring into live action. I mean, no matter how you slice it, you could find probably a cheat to figure it out. Like, I mean, kind of like what they did with Arnim Zola in the computer. But that's a challenge. And animation gives you so much freedom. And I will, like, Marvel does have, I will say, I'll call it a mixed history, because, like, I love the X-Men show and the Spider-Man animated show from the 90s. Those are both fantastic. Obviously, we just recently got Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. However, a lot of their other animated shows are kind of forgettable. Like, they're just not, like, over... Like, DC has a much better track record when it comes to
with animation.
But, you know, these shows all sound very interesting. I am definitely going to be tuning in. So, yeah, they have my viewership. I can't blame them for doing this.
Speaking of Hulu, now, as you were saying, like, Disney is going to basically end up owning, like, 60% of Hulu or something like that. And Hulu Senior Vice President of Originals, Craig Irwich, has said that Marvel, that they're down basically to revive Daredevil and other canceled Marvel TV shows. He said basically that, you know, Marvel has a ton of stuff that they'd like to get. It just depends on when Marvel is ready to move forward and who'd be working on those shows. Now Netflix started canceling Marvel stuff last year. And at the time we heard that it was going to take like at least 2 years from the cancellation for those characters to show up again in live action or something like that. So I don't know. What do you think the chances are that Marvel will really say, okay, we want to do Daredevil again or whatever?
I'd say they're probably slim. Yeah. If not just because, I mean, from what I understand, though, the Marvel Netflix shows are exactly that. They're co-productions between Marvel Studios and Netflix, which is why, basically, like, even though Netflix has canceled them and even though Disney Plus is happening, we're not seeing those shows just immediately transplant over to Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Like, they're actually going to stay on Netflix because they are Netflix shows.
Yeah.
Hulu would probably have to do an all-out, like, buyout of that, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Netflix, I mean, there's a strong argument to be made, and it's not official, but like that the reason why Netflix canceled the Disney or the Disney, the Marvel Netflix shows is because of Disney Plus and realization that they're going, like, they're basically, Disney is canceling their partnership with Netflix in order to go create their own competitor. And Netflix, I mean, but Netflix and Hulu, like, they've been competitors for years. They've always been clashing. So the idea that they would, like, just outright sell what is certainly one of their most popular series, many of their popular series, doesn't sound as super likely to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah. If anything, they'll show up, like, completely different. We're not going to have the same actors. They're not going to continue storylines. It would be something completely different. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I want that. So.
Yeah, I'm not. I really don't. Well, you know, if they rebooted Iron Fist, I'd be willing to give that a shot. But everything else, you know, everything else. So we'll see. Sure. All right. Now we have to get to a little bit of news that is going to, you know, get a little bit delicate.
Sure.
Apparently, now they've been, Millennium Films has been trying to get a new Red Sonja off the ground for quite a while. And last year, Bryan Singer became attached. It was just about 5 months ago. And actually, in November, he went to something called the American Film Market to kind of present his vision for the movie to film buyers everywhere, basically. But recently there was a European film market where Millennium Films said that the movie was no longer on its slate and not for sale. So the movie's now on hold, it looks like. And possibly this is because, you know, for one thing, Bryan Singer got fired from directing Bohemian Rhapsody. Basically, this happened in 2017, I think. They had some time off for Thanksgiving and he just didn't come back to work. So he got fired. The more serious issues are that there have been some allegations of rape and sexual assault and other things like that against him that have not been cleared up yet. So it was surprising to begin with, right? When he became attached to this movie and seemed like he was pretty, like, officially set as the director. What do you think happened, and why do you think they took a chance on him in the first place?
That is a wonderful question. And unfortunately, I feel like the only interpretation of it is, like, money is more powerful than scandal in Hollywood. And Bohemian Rhapsody was an absolutely massive, massive hit. I mean, he didn't finish the film as discussed. Yeah. I mean, he is still credited as the director.
The director, yeah.
Basically because of Director Guild rules and the fact that I think it's like something like if he directed 75% of principal photography, then that person gets the credit. Mm-hmm. So, but he wasn't present for the end of shooting. He wasn't present for post-production. So, I guess so one could only say that, like, the reaction is because, like, Bryan Singer has not only found huge success with Bohemian Rhapsody, but also directed a number of hugely successful X-Men movies. That being said, beyond that, don't get it. Don't understand why you would ever do this. There are thousands of directors, literally thousands of directors out there, obviously not including only big ones, but, like, mm-hmm. filmmakers who have a vision for a Red Sonja movie that they would like to make that would certainly be less controversial and less kind of, like, really scummy looking than Bryan Singer right now. And, like, we're talking about this now, but this has been kind of a situation that's been boiling over for a few months now. People have really not been happy about any of it. And I don't blame them. We are at a point where we should also realize that, like, you know, sometimes maybe if you have a female hero, maybe you get a female director to add a certain level of perspective that a male director is not going to have.
Along with a female writer and, you know, why not?
Why not? Yeah, literally. Seriously, come on. And so, like, it's all a mess. It's really dumb. I'm happy. Like, when I heard that this movie was essentially being backburnered, I was like, good.
I was surprised it took this long.
Yeah, basically, right? It is ridiculous. The entire situation is patently ridiculous. I don't know how it ever started. Like, I know how it started formally. It's because of money again, but it shouldn't have gotten this far. It is good to see that it has obviously gotten to this point, and hopefully it'll be a message to anybody, any studio in Hollywood, that, like, you know, maybe you shouldn't just look past this stuff. Like, you should actually pay attention.
So, right. Yeah. All right. Well, I would like to see a new Red Sonja at some point. So hopefully. Sure. They'll, you know, find other people to work on it and actually get this off the ground.
Totally. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to better things. We got some new Avengers Endgame images this week that give us some hints as to what they're going to look like when they're in costume.
Indeed.
And let's just go ahead and start off with the stuff that's not official. Somebody's always getting a toy ahead of time and putting pictures up places and getting us excited. And, okay, so somebody got a hold of the Ronin toy. Clint Barton has become Ronin. He's probably pissed off because his family got dusted. And so now he's just going around with a katana, killing people.
Yeah, basically, apparently, yeah. That's what you do. That's what you do.
That is what you do. So... the toy that we see, basically the costume looks a fair bit like what a lot of the Ronin costumes look like in the comics, right? It's all black. He's got a hood. He's completely covered except for his eyes. You know, he's got the katana. There's a few gold accents, but it's really just kind of a fancy ninja outfit. Yeah. Do you think this might be close? Because I can't, unless they do something radically different, I don't know what they would do with Ronin's costume.
No, I mean, I think this is probably as far as it's going to go. I mean, we have, like, in that first Avengers Endgame trailer, like, we did see, like, him from the back, albeit at night in the rain, so it wasn't the best of lighting. But, you know, it did clearly look like a hooded black leather outfit, and we did see him remove some kind of mask, obviously. And, given the fact that he's going to be in Asia, it makes sense that, and obviously his name is Ronin, which comes from samurai tradition. So it makes sense. I think that this look makes a lot of sense. So I do believe it. Yeah.
Okay. But everyone should know that Joe Russo came out, and he's one of Endgame's directors, came out and said that a lot of times when people leak these toys, those designs are based on, you know, old concepts and ideas and sometimes things that won't even end up in the movie at all. So, I mean, obviously we know he's going to, you know, that Ronin is going to be in the movie. But like we were saying, this seems like it's probably pretty accurate to what we're going to see him presented as in the film.
Sure. And I mean, and some things are simpler than others in the sense that, like, some, like, Ronin's costume, it's, like you said, it's not exactly overly complex. So when the first art was put together for it, it probably stayed fairly consistent throughout.
Right.
So when the toy makers started making toys, it was based on a fairly accurate design. However, there are also, like, I mean, for a good example is, like, Legos. Sometimes Legos just pull nothing out of, like, just pull something out of absolutely nothing. They will create a Lego set that resembles absolutely nothing in the movie. Like, the first one that's springing to mind, and I am a huge Lego fan.
Really?
But, like, right. That's a huge shocker, right? the first one that springs to mind is, like, there was a Lego set for Iron Man 3 with, like, the Mandarin speeding around in a, like, speedboat battling Iron Man, and that wasn't in the movie. Like, that wasn't a thing.
So what kind of special permission do the Lego folks get that they can just create anything?
I don't kind of mind it, just because, like, it does throw a little bit doubt into the scene and saying, like, if you think you figured out something because of a Lego set, you might not necessarily have everything 100% right. And that being a perfect example, because, of course, the Mandarin wound up there being that huge twist and wasn't actually the Mandarin. But yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Oh, I love that twist. That's a whole podcast episode. We can talk about the twist in Iron Man 3. I will have to actually invite Sean O'Connell on too, because he and I have very juxtaposing views on this subject. I mean, I will also throw into the mix, like, if any of you guys have old Guardians of the Galaxy toys, like any kind of like cheap Guardians of the Galaxy toys, if you look at like the Rocket Raccoon stuff, you'll actually notice that he'll have like, I remember for the first movie, there was like a promo box of toys that they gave out at the junket, and there was a mask of Rocket Raccoon that had like this big metal plate on his head. And the reason for that is because early concept art for Guardians of the Galaxy had Rocket look a little bit more like a Frankenstein monster that was like surgically put together. And
yeah, I mean, I understand where they came up with that, but ew.
Right. When there's that scene in the kiln in First Guardians of the Galaxy where you do get to see like Rocket's back, and obviously he does have some surgical scars and stuff. However, they decided to tone it down, and they didn't give like Rocket this giant metal plate on his head. And so but it's that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that Joe Rus is talking about. So whenever you see one of these toys, treat it with a bit of skepticism. That's the ultimate thing that I think you can walk away with from this conversation.
Yeah. So, you know, when you get your toy, your early toy, don't hide it from us. Just know that it might not, whatever it is, might not look exactly like that when the movie finally comes out.
There you go.
But you can still put it online so we can look at it and, you know, obsess over it.
Yeah, exactly. And speculate needlessly to no end. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, we did get some official images of the main Avengers this week. Oddly enough, for a popcorn contest.
Sure.
But we've got to look. We got to look at, apparently Hulk has a costume now, Eric. Indeed. And you can find, you know, you can find the promo art for this on cinemablend.com. But Hulk is looking very Bruce Banner-ish. Like, his face is even more like merged. It looks, his face looks more human. He's wearing a full-on shirt with like sleeves that go all the way down. And there's actually like a little, I don't know what you call it, but it's the thing that you can put the sleeve like around your thumb so it doesn't, so his shirt doesn't ride up when he's, you know, punching and throwing cars and stuff.
Sure. I mean, I think we have talked about kind of the quote unquote Professor Hulk of it all, in past episodes, and the idea of, them like both kind of the, Bruce Banner and Hulk mentalities merging. That could very well be what we, are seeing here. Mm-hmm. By the way, I will also just quickly add that, while this artwork is still available everywhere online, because once you put something online, it is permanent and never leaves.
That's true.
The Orville Redenbacher contest has actually been taken down. That website is no longer active. So, it does seem that this was a bit, early. However, gives us a lot to talk about, so
yeah, it does.
I'm all for it, and the thing is, like, and Hulk is kind of the big one to look at, and I will also like preface this entire conversation with kind of like hints back to the last conversation, which is this is promo art. This is like, while some of the toys are based on concept art, this is what's called promo art, which is the kind of stuff that, like, it's art that eventually gets turned into stickers and trading cards and that kind of stuff. It's not, like, official stills from the movie or anything. It can be from, like, costume tests and stuff, and it's usually just photoshopped together nonsensically, and it looks terrible. However,
yeah, the entire bit of promo art, there was some doubt that this was real. Like, we had to do some double and triple checking just to make sure all of this was real and like an official image from Marvel.
And it's because, somebody took these various images and decided to clip them over one another.
Right.
These people are definitely not in the same room together.
No.
However, going back to, like, I mean, this is an image that gives us a look at not only Hulk, and this is a non-visual medium podcasting is, so we're going to do our best to describe it here. Yeah. But you have not only Hulk, but also Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, and Hawkeye. Hawkeye mm-hmm. without his mask, so it doesn't really inform us any more about what's going on with the toy. But there's some cool stuff here.
Yeah. Black Widow seems to have gone back to her red hair.
Uh-huh.
For this image, and she's got a ponytail and like a little braid.
Oh, what's also interesting about that though is if you actually look at it close up, it's still got a little bit.
It's of partially blonde. Yep. Yeah.
So
to make us think her hair just grew out and she let it grow out. Yeah.
Well, I do.
I think that's what it is, right?
This is
because that's why the blonde would be at the end.
That's kind of the overt speculation is that, like, basically it's kind of a hint about the amount of time that has passed since, like, she was blonde in Avengers Infinity War to when this story is coming back around again.
Yeah.
How long? I'm not a tremendous, I'm not a hair expert. I don't really know anything about dyeing hair or anything. Like, how long would it take to actually grow out your hair, like, naturally?
I don't know. Well, it depends. No? Well, yeah. Everybody's hair grows at a different rate, so I'm not sure.
That's true.
So it's it's probably at least 5 or 6 months, I would think.
Okay.
To get to the point where, one, her hair is long enough for this long ponytail that can, like, snake around and kind of land on her chest, and also to where the blonde hair is basically just at the end of it.
That's actually a very good point. Her hair was a lot shorter in Avengers Infinity War also, so she'd have to grow out that length in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also, like, the fact that, you know, she could have dyed it, so this could be a stupid conversation in general, and, like, the movie could take place 2 days after Infinity War, and she just decided, I liked being a redhead, so let's go back to that. Totally on the table. Not going to take it away. Another detail that I absolutely love, and I will say, like, the Iron Man costume, it's basically an Iron Man costume.
Same.
It's it's familiar. The Captain America costume, it's a very, very, very subtle detail. But if you look at the chest plate and the shoulder pads, it has, like, these little bumps and grooves on it. And what I think that is essentially, like, a reference to kind of the scaling look that exists in the comics, where he has kind of that, like, those blue scales on his costume.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that, to this point, has not actually existed as part of his costume, like, in any other forms. I've loved Captain America's costumes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They are actually my favorite. Like, I think they are perfect representations. Like, alongside, like, it's Captain America and Deadpool. Like, those, to me, are perfect superhero costumes.
Uh-huh.
But this one is the first one to kind of introduce that kind of detail. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I think it looks absolutely fantastic. And it's just good to see Cap back in the helmet, which we haven't seen him actually wear since Civil War.
Oh, that's true. Now, do you think the scaling thing that's, you know, common in the comics is like a sign that this is definitely the last time we'll see him? Now they finally brought it all the way back around to his comic book origins.
You finally got him into a costume that looks like this.
Yeah.
I hope not. I think I've mentioned this. At least in the past live show, I don't know if I ever mentioned it on this specific podcast. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my ultimate hope for Captain America isn't that he dies any kind of heroic death, but instead just goes back to the 1940s and gets to live out the rest of his life with Peggy and actually. Yeah.
He jumps into Goose's mouth, into one of those tentacle portals. And gets to go back to the 40s or whatever and live his life out with Peggy. And they get married and have kids and all that stuff.
I love that, like, we had a conversation last week about Captain Marvel being kind of the Deus Ex Machina character and solving everything in the problem with Thanos. It's not going to be Captain Marvel. It's going to be Goose.
It's going to be Goose.
Goose is
going
to be the solution to every single one of our problems. Goose is just going to show up on the scene and in one bite take out Thanos and return everything to normal. It's going to be great.
Just spit all the dead heroes out from different tentacles, different universes or whatever. It's perfect.
I have figured
this whole thing out.
That's perfect.
In less than an hour.
I would not hate the movie for that. Like, if it actually were to do that, I wouldn't be able to do anything but stand up and clap. That'd be fantastic. Because, I was about to say we didn't see it coming. Technically, we just did. But that's not the point. We're going to ignore that for right now. And like, because the unreality of this is still definitely outweighing the reality of it. So, But I love it. That's great.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you can see that image, obviously, if you want to take a look at it on cinemablend.com. And it will also, there'll be a link to it in the show description on the website. Eric,
yeah.
You have gotten to do something that not many of us have gotten to do. You sure. got to see 15 minutes of Shazam.
I did.
That you can actually tell us all about.
So last week, I had the opportunity to go up to Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank, California, which is a good 15, 20 minutes from my house. And while I was there, I went to one of these sound stages where like basically they go to like screen the film for editors, editing purposes, and so they can look. And they, within that, showed us a good 15, like not consecutive 15 minutes of footage from the movie, but 15 minutes of footage from the film. And it kind of, and in addition to that, we also got to, after they showed us the footage, we sat down with director David F. Sandberg and producer Peter Safran. We talked for a good 20-30 minutes about kind of the footage that we saw, what we can expect from the film. And yeah, I have a lot to talk about because what I saw was really, 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 really super fun.
Okay. So just in general, you liked the footage. What was Definitely. Like your favorite aspect of it?
What you saw? I think I'll get into kind of a full description of everything okay. that I saw. But essentially what it is like a big joy of this film is going to kind of be the quote unquote big of it all, which is to say the
Little
personality
kid
of a kid in an adult body.
Yeah.
And Dak Levi, like, the footage that we got to see was essentially not only Billy Batson going to the Wizard Shazam, gaining the powers, but then going to Freddy saying, I don't know what the hell is going on, please help me. And then the two of them kind of working together to test out all of his powers and see what he can actually do. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, We have seen so many superhero origin movies between Marvel and DC and beyond that it's really kind of hard to actually, especially me as a comic book fan who knows all of this information inside and out.
Right.
It's kind of hard at this point to really blow me away with an origin story, but this, it feels fresh. It feels fun. Like it feels mm-hmm. different. It's a different experience than the most youthful superhero that we've seen is Spider-Man at this point. And he brings his own kind of enthusiasm, but this kind of brings that to a whole different level. In addition to stuff like being a kid who's excited to learn that he's a superhero, it's also doing adult stuff. And again, this is stuff that was kind of previously teased in the trailers. But for example, they go to a convenience store and decide that they want to drink some beer because he looks like an adult and they can get away with it. Unfortunately, they quickly discover, as most kids do, that beer doesn't exactly taste phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so they wind up trading it in for a bunch of snack food. But it really kind of leans into that stuff hard. Like the stuff that I got to see really leans into it hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see a lot more of it.
Okay, so what else did they show?
Sure. So I'll go into kind of more detail now. The beginning of the footage was essentially Billy Batson and the rest of his foster family, or I should say the foster kids, walking to school. Mm-hmm. His little sister Darla, kind of just constantly running her mouth, kind of being a motor mouth, and Billy not fully engaging. And it's all the footage I got to see, I should preface this by saying, is from the first hour of the movie.
Okay.
Or according to what they told us. Billy, like, he's new to this foster family. He doesn't really fit in. And it turns out, from, like, his interaction with Freddy, who's a superhero obsessive, mm-hmm. played by Jack Dylan Grazer, who you might remember from It. He's, like, a superhero obsessive who's constantly just peppering him with questions. But he knows that Billy is just going to run away. He knows that Billy has no interest in becoming part of this family, so he's just gonna run away. This kind of all changes when there's an altercation outside of the school where a bunch of bullies start beating up Freddy. Mm-hmm. Billy decides to come in and save him, which is another shot that you got to see in the trailer. He takes one of Freddy's crutches and beats them off. Moving past that terrible phrasing. Sorry, I'm really having a hard time. Anyway, continuing. he hits him with the crutch, runs down to a subway, gets away from the bullies. The subway goes through this kind of magical transformation where he is brought into what is known as the Rock of Eternity, which is kind of the magical realm where the wizard Shazam lives. Mm-hmm. The wizard shows this kind of big light show. He has this big staff that he puts on this giant light show that fills up the entire cavern. And what's particularly interesting about it is that it gives us some backstory to kind of what all this magic stuff originates from. Yeah. And essentially what it is the Wizard Shazam is one of seven remaining wizards. They had originally chosen a champion back like a thousand years ago that wound up being too corrupted and
familiar.
Sounds a little familiar. And this is a piece that actually I wrote about on Cinema Blend, which is seems very much like a hint at Black Adam, which when we were sitting down with the director and the producer, they told us flat out Black Adam is not in this movie. Dwayne Johnson, who has been attached to this film for years and years, but he's not in this film. He's going to either make his debut in his own Black Adam solo film or any other film, but it's definitely not going to be Shazam. However, this definitely appeared to be a very clear like representation of him. I will say I specifically asked them saying like, but was that a hint at him that we got to see in the footage? And they kind of danced around it and literally told me that it's like a Rorschach test and like what you see is what you want to see.
Yeah.
Take from that what you will. They're playing coy. Anyway, yeah. At that point, so that's a little cool bit. At that point, eventually Billy is convinced by the Wizard Shazam to become his new champion because he is kind of earnest enough, I guess, for it.
He's already kind of a hero. He just doesn't have any powers. He's willing to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves.
Exactly. And that's and nobody's perfect. Like, people have flaws, of course, but that doesn't mean that when times are tough that you're always going to do the right thing. And that is Billy. And so the powers of he says the wizard's name after grabbing onto the staff, becomes the heroic Shazam, played by Zachary Levi. At first has absolutely no idea what's going on, totally freaked out, winds up in a flash, then waking up back on the subway where a guy is like standing over him and admiring his like fancy red duds and white cape and with gold boots. It's really, then eventually he like finds his way back to Freddy, as I was mentioning, and they start running superhero tests, like basically seeing what his powers are.
Right.
And they do like, They try to do flight. It doesn't quite work because Billy's not exactly sure how kind of mechanics of flight actually work, which, by the way, I totally get, because when you really put it on its feet, flight does not make a ton of sense. Like, how are you moving? Are you pushing the earth around you? Are you moving the air? I mean,
you never see them like swimming through the air. They just kind of go.
So, yeah, I think like the scientific ultimate explanation is kind of like a like force of gravitational fields around you. It doesn't matter. Point is it doesn't really work. He can't fly at first. He does, however, discover that he's able to shoot electricity out of his fingers by essentially in a moment where he's kind of threatening Freddy to stop being a little jerk because he tricks him into thinking that he's invisible at one point, which makes for a little fun gag. But he eventually learns that he has both super speed and super strength by going into the park and actually rescuing a woman from a mugger. It turns out the woman is actually fairly capable on her own and didn't really need her help. I feel like I'm spoiling jokes, so I really don't want to go too far into it.
Okay.
But like it is like legitimately funny. Like it is really, really funny stuff. And then there's the whole convenience store sequence that I mentioned, which before they're able to get the beer is interrupted by a pair of criminals. By the way, apparently this version of Philadelphia, criminals everywhere. It's just awful. The idea of being able
that
to
might
run
be
into
accurate.
Another...
I don't know.
Exactly. I haven't spent much time in Philly. But they run into a couple of armed robbers who try and rob the convenience store, and Shazam steps in, and they try and shoot him at first, but he has bullet immunity. So that winds up with both Freddy and Shazam saying, shoot him again, which is just by itself full of a lot of humor. And it's just, I think... this is only 15 minutes of a 2-hour film. It's so mm-hmm. it's not exactly a huge chunk of it. That being said, I really, really dig what I've been seeing from this film so far. Mm-hmm. Zachary Levi seems like he is honestly just inspired casting. He seems like he's having just the time of his life in this role. And yeah, I couldn't be more excited to see what the rest of this movie has in store.
All right. Now, you said a little bit ago that the movie just kind of feels different. Do you mean in comparison to other DC movies or to superhero movies in general that we've gotten?
I mean, in general, we're not used to like characters who are this young that are taking on like the adult responsibilities of superhero, and like yeah. and also who are really just this clumsy with their superheroes, to like just specifically reference the footage that we've seen. Like, most characters, like, I mean, like, I guess with the exception of like when Captain America first gets his powers in the first Avenger, he has that like scene where he like he's running down the street and he's running so fast that he winds up tripping and falling into a glass store window.
Right,
like,
right.
But to the point,
but he recovers quite quickly and doesn't like fumble beyond
exactly.
that.
Yeah. He's right back in it. And within a few minutes is like jumping into water and like breaking open a submarine and like pulling a guy out of it.
Right.
So
right.
yeah, he adapts fairly quickly. And I guess like in Iron Man, he has like, he figures out the kinks of his suit for a little bit, but this feels different and like I said, mm-hmm. fresh. It just feels like a very different origin story because of a different perspective that it's coming from. And yeah, it's it looks neat.
Okay. Now, are you disappointed that apparently there's not going to be any Dwayne Johnson in this movie?
Well, I mean, the explanation that they gave for it made actually a lot of sense, which is yeah. to say that Shazam is a character between Billy Batson, like, adjusting to his foster family life, dealing with becoming a superhero, facing off with the plan for Dr. Savannah. Like, that's a lot to take in addition to also throwing in all this ancient history with this character who had similar experiences that, like, you have to bring into the mix as well with mm-hmm. a star on the level of Dwayne Johnson. You'd essentially have yeah. to make it Shazam and Black Adam. And maybe you don't necessarily want to do that at this point. And so, and, like, I'm still not really sure what the plan for the Black Adam movie is.
Yeah.
It may be one of these things that, like, if Shazam does really well, like, Dwayne Johnson will just drop everything else he's doing, which is like 30,000 other projects.
That's
and
true.
Just commit to it. we'll see. But they did very much say that, like, they recognize that fans very much want to see Shazam versus Black Adam up on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like, after seeing what's being presented here, all about
yeah.
it.
I'm now, right. that one of the articles you wrote about this, mm-hmm. one of the quotes I noticed says, "We will not see Black Adam and Shazam together on screen in this movie," which to me says Dwayne Johnson might be in this movie.
No. I mean, there was another quote that more like specifically said, definitely not in the film. And in fact, there was actually someone who asked that, like, there was like, apparently they'd picked up on a rumor that like Black Adam would have showed up in Shazam. However, they couldn't do any kind of they couldn't like get the costume fitting done in time. However, producer Peter Safran completely shut that down. He said there was no truth to that rumor at all, and there was no plans for Black Adam to appear in the film. So,
all right,
yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so when can you talk to us about the full movie?
The full film?
Yeah.
I mean, the film isn't going to be out until April, so that is probably going to be late March until we're able to talk about it in fall.
That's a long time.
Right? But we do have Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, that's true.
As confusing as that is. Yay.
Yeah. Let's not think about that.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to move past it. One yeah. Shazam, one's Captain Marvel. That's it.
Right. All right, Eric. We did it. We got through Indeed. This week. We had a lot of cool stuff to talk about.
We did.
What is coming up for you?
Well, on the subject of Captain Marvel, there has been some whispers about in the social media sphere, but the press junket, the domestic press day for Captain Marvel is coming up next week, which means that the film is going to be starting to screen, which, yes, I am going to be going to see it next week. I couldn't be more thrilled.
Wow.
I am very, very pumped for it. Yeah, I know. Real shocker there. Eric is excited for a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. Oh, crazy. However, in addition to that, there is also going to be a home video press day for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse next week, where it hasn't been confirmed yet, but I'm hoping to be setting up time for talking with the directors of the film, who I actually got to talk with at Comic-Con and during the domestic press day. They are absolutely fantastic dudes, and I can't wait to dive more into the movie while also learning about all of the cool special features that are going to be on the Blu-ray.
Awesome. Yep. All right, everybody. That's it for us this time. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. Drop us a review. Leave, you know, compliments, comments, questions. You can hit us up on Twitter at Hero Blend. That's all for us today, guys. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next time.